I am a medium. That means I can communicate with spirits, amongst other things. I started seeing spirits before I can even remember. I grew up feeling cursed, but now I am taking control of my abilities. Welcome to my Spirit Diaries. Welcome back to Spirit Diaries. This is season 3, episode 6, and we are picking back up with Scary Haunted Story of My Husband's House.
Hello.
That was really quick. So, my name is Birdie, his name is Robert.
Hello. And sorry.
Oh, it's going to be interesting tonight, huh? So, we are talking about different things that have happened in his insanely haunted house, which I truly believe is ranked up there with some of the most haunted houses in all of America. I truly do. Your house is unusual, and I've seen some crazier entities than entities I've encountered in your house, but in terms of quantity of haunting and level of activity, I've seen nothing like it.
I agree. I haven't seen anything like it since.
No. And I mean, I feel like I've had a bunch of crazy places I've ended up at, and we're going to share stories of that as I go back into my chronological story, slowly working our way up to current day. And this house, I can't stress it enough, is unique. But before we jump into the story, I do just want to say a huge thank you for listening and showing all of your support. It's incredible, and I wish I could spend an entire 30 minutes thanking you guys with how cool this is, but I know I try to limit myself so I don't spend the whole episode gushing about how amazing the listenership is with this podcast. It's been absolutely incredible, and I do want to take a second to say, I don't like to do promotion, but I do want to let you guys know, if you are looking for the podcast sooner, I do have a Patreon page where the podcast comes out a week early, so you can enjoy those goodies. And I also have an Etsy shop where we have Spirit Diaries merch with a lot of different occult style t-shirts and items available for you if you want to show your support for the podcast. It helps us to set aside the time to keep recording this, and it helps this podcast continue to grow. I do want to continue to investigate more places, and of course that comes with travel costs and money and all of that garbage. So if you do want to support us more, that would be a great way to get involved and also get something out of it too, because I have to admit, our t-shirts are pretty cool, and if you've seen any of the investigations, we are typically always both rocking some Spirit Diaries t-shirts. So go ahead and check that out. The links will be in the show notes. And let's jump in to some more crazy haunted house stories of this poor little house.
So when I was, I believe, 2, my parents went and adopted us a black lab puppy.
Adorable.
Yeah. he was very adorable. Unfortunately, he was born with tear ducts that don't work. So he would constantly get slime and goop build up in his eyes because his tear ducts weren't flushing his eyes.
Right.
So we had to constantly put in like medical ointments and like they gave us like a mineral oil that would basically like glaze over his eyes so they'd protect it for him like over the day.
Right.
And he also had a skin condition. So he shedded, had a really bad dandruff, and just like smelled bad because of the skin condition.
Poor Pupo.
And then again, on the first day that he was at our house, like most puppies do, he squatted in the middle of the hallway and peed, and that was the end of him being an inside dog. My parents made him an outside dog, and luckily we lived in a place that was pretty mild year round, so it wasn't too cold or anything for him.
But your dog should always be inside.
I agree. I was very young, and it was not my say.
Oh,
if
I understand.
If it was my say, he would have slept with me.
I totally get it. I'm just putting out a public service announcement of keep your porpo safe inside.
Agreed. Completely agree. But because he was an outside dog, that made his eye tear duct things worse.
Oh, I bet. The dirt and
yeah, I would go out there multiple times a day and clean his eyes and make sure that he could see, because eventually they glaze over with the green slime. He couldn't see anything.
Oh, man.
This just builds up to his food, because I had to feed him outside. His food and water were always outside. Was stored in our shed, which was in the very back corner of our backyard. It was the darkest corner of the backyard. And the shed was kind of set diagonally to the corner of...
Yeah, it was catty-cornered.
Yeah, to the fences where they meet. So there was a little bit of room behind it for, like, my dad put, like, tires and old storage and stuff that he forgot about for years back there.
Right.
Things that just didn't matter.
And your backyard is... relatively big. I feel like most people don't have backyards as large as yours was.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about acreage or anything, but it is a significantly well-sized backyard.
Yes. And
so it was far away from the house. It's not like...
Right.
I want to paint the picture a little bit because, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, well, you run out to the shed, it's like 10 feet away. Yours was...
like 50 feet plus.
Yeah, no, it was far away.
Like, I'd say like 100, 150 feet away. Like, it was...
We've gone from 50 to 100.
Sorry, little kid sizes in my head trying to think about it. I can give it some context. We had a super bright light on our back porch.
Right.
And that light did not reach the shed.
Right.
So when you got to the shed, it was out of that light's region.
That light probably reached halfway through your yard.
Yes. So that light did not make it all the way to the shed, so the shed was always dark. If I came home late or there was something that kept us out late, I would always feed my dog around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, feed him dinner, and then I would go inside while it's light outside. Sometimes we didn't get back in time, whether it was errands with my parents, an event.
Right, right.
So we get back late. And then I had to go out to feed my dog because he was my dog. So my parents said it was my responsibility to go out in the terrifying darkness. And
of course, they wouldn't go in the dark.
And feed him, yeah. I would go out to the shed to feed him. That's where his food was kept, in a container to keep it away from roaches and rats and stuff. So
right.
Open the container, scoop it out. My dad used to like to... one of his favorite things to do was to freak me out as a kid. So he would...
Typical father.
Yeah. he would try to scare me. Like, I'd be out there at the shed, and he would shut the back light off, so that the entire backyard was pitch black. And all you could see was the lights from the window through the curtains.
Right.
So there was like a very muted light. And I would panic because it's pitch black. I can't see my feet, let alone anywhere in front of me.
And your backyard does have weird vibes.
Yes.
I think everybody I know that's been in your backyard, sensitive or not, has been uncomfortable alone. And never alone outside at night.
Yes.
I've never seen anybody alone outside there at night.
Yes. And I was a very small child.
Right.
Going out and feeding my dog in the middle of the night. I remember, the 30-pound dog food bags, I couldn't lift them. I just had to scoot it across the ground.
Right.
Like, I was young. And when I was in the shed one night, all of a sudden, rocks started hitting the top of the shed. Like... large rocks, what I assumed were rocks, because there were no trees around, so like it wasn't
an acorn,
wasn't a pine cone.
Right.
We didn't have any trees like that. We had one tree in our backyard, and it was a loquat tree, and it was in the center of the yard.
Right, so there's no way these little citrus things could have been falling on top.
No. They were so far away, and I mean, they were teeny anyways. I got super angry, because they were hitting very close to me. And when I stepped out, they were hitting. And I seen that, at least I seen one of them. And one of them was a rock.
Yeah.
So I assume the other ones are rocks as well.
Of course.
I couldn't see on top of the shed. So I don't know if they bounced off. I don't know if they stuck up there. It was a metal shed. So it made a very loud sound. And I got super angry because I thought my dad was playing jokes on me. I was like, why are you throwing rocks at me? Like, they're really close. And he's like, I'm not throwing rocks at you. Why would I throw rocks at you? And I'm like, you're throwing rocks and hitting the shed. And I mean, my dad is the kind of person that would punch you if he seen a penny on the ground so that you couldn't run over and grab it for him. Like, he's cheap, saves all his money. Like, my dad would never destroy any of his own things willingly.
No, 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 Oh no, so, your dad would be the last person who would throw a rock. He would throw a rock at you, but he wouldn't throw he wouldn't throw a rock at you when you were in front of the shed, because he wouldn't want to injure the shed.
Right,
because
he'd dent the shed and it would make it rust or something, and it would just look like
Pop you in the back, but not he wouldn't risk throwing anything at you in the shed. So I do believe him that he wasn't the one throwing rocks.
And so I was super confused because I had no idea where these giant rocks were coming from getting thrown at me. Well, I mean, we checked in the morning time. The only other property behind us was fenced in as well to our fence.
Yeah.
And the property beside us was fenced in as well to their fence. And I know none of them were out there because whenever they were home, their backlights would be on for their backyards. It's kind of like everybody just kept their lights on. And so that super wigged me out about the backyard. And I always got like weird vibes like something was going to come out from behind the shed.
And I do believe there is a portal behind the shed. This is where I know there's at least one portal is right out there by that shed.
I completely agree. And I think that's more the portal that has the weird, dark things.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen non-human things.
Yeah.
Back in your backyard.
Yeah.
That have caused us. We've had family fires back there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. We get the heck out.
Yeah. And they'll dart across the yard. Oh, like, you'll see things in shadows, and it's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
But yeah, that was one place that I did not like to go a kid.
Can I ask how big the rocks were? So you said you've seen one?
Yeah, they were a little bit bigger in circumference than, like, a half dollar.
That's a decent size rock. They were not like little pebbles.
No.
Or, I mean, I'm trying to think.
Were almost like the decorative rocks that you have in like a planter or a garden area or like a walkway like that people use instead of gravel or something like that.
Which wouldn't be back there.
Right. So I don't know where they came from, but they were hitting hard. And I mean, we didn't live in a rocky terrain. No. It was flat.
Yeah.
It was dirt. Yeah, there was dirt, sand, grass.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where those came from. But that place always gave me bad vibes. And I always made sure to stay out of the backyard whenever possible.
I would too.
At that same time, I was starting to experience more and more in my parents' house. I don't know if it was a coming to age where I was starting to realize more things or like hear more things, but it seemed like the older I got, the more activity kind of started.
Yeah, this happened to me too. You know, how old would you say you were?
I would say 8 or 9 was when it started really picking up.
Yeah, I feel like that's when mine started coming into validation.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that is the puberty stage, where mm-hmm. I feel like that's when the whirlwind happened for me.
Right.
And I feel like so many people experience paranormal puberty.
Right.
Where it's just like this huge awakening period right from, you know, 9 to 13. It's insane.
Right. And I mean, this was a time where I was getting crazy things that like I couldn't explain happening. Like, we used to get really bad lightning and thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And I had some of those toys in my closet. Like, there was some motion activated. There was some where, like, I had a teddy bear from when I was really little that, like, you squeeze the thumb and it, like, sings the tune to Jingle Bells. Just like, dun, dun, dun. Just the instrumental.
Okay.
And then I had a Furby in my closet.
Oh, God.
That was my dad's.
Dun, 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 the Furbies. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, your dad had a Furby?
Yeah, he thought they were cool when they first came out, so someone got him one.
What?
Yeah, and it was weird, and I was like, I hate that thing. So, of course, they stored it in my closet.
Your dad is the only grown man I've ever known to get a Furby.
Yeah, he thought they were super cool. And I wasn't even allowed to get a Techno, one of the robots that did the...
I had Techno!
I never got one.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, but my dad had a Furby. I did have a, I want to say, 2-foot-tall statue that had, like, opposable limbs so you could move it. Of Hopper, which was the bad guy from Bug's Life.
Yeah, the animated Disney film.
Yes. So...
Is that Disney? Pixar?
Pixar. Yeah, it's Pixar, I believe.
Yeah.
And that was either you could switch it from motion sensitive or you could turn it on and just, like, press a button and it would spit out the sayings that he used to say in the movie. His iconic sayings.
Right, right.
So those were three things that could have made noise in my closet. All of them had the batteries removed from them because my parents would store them up there. If you want to play with them, they'd give you batteries. Like, batteries were sacred.
Oh, yeah.
They also didn't want us having anything that had batteries because if it had batteries, it probably made noise and they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, and your dad's also a penny pincher. Yes. So I know for a fact he's the type of parent to give you batteries for the hour you want to play with and then be like, give those back, give those back. We got to save the juice.
And then put them back in the TV remote or
something. Right, right, right.
And so there was no batteries in them. And so when we got crazy lightning and thunderstorms, they would go off in my closet.
Do you think that's even scientifically possible with, you know, higher electromagnetic frequency in the air?
You know, I have no idea. But it was almost like it didn't happen, but more than a few times during a few thunderstorms. Because after that, we had a few more crazy thunderstorms and nothing happened.
Because
it wasn't something that repeated always.
Regular Haley happened. That's interesting because my family had a room full of toys, but the batteries were in them. Mm-hmm. But during certain nights, they would all of them, like it's not like one randomly goes off. They would all start talking. And this room in my house had so many toys that it would literally sound like there was a huge crowd of kids in the room.
Right.
And so I totally understand the like unsettling thing of just toys all going off together. So they all went off?
Yes. And the thing was,
so strange.
The teddy bear, you had to squeeze its hand. It had one of the squeeze triggers.
So we have no batteries and a squeezable trigger.
The hopper had a switch that was turned to off. And the batteries were not in it.
Oh my gosh.
And the Furby was switched to off and did not have a battery in it. So, randomly, in the middle of the night, it would just go boom! The lightning would strike, would light up the sky, my room would flash because I had, on the front wall, three windows, on the side wall, one window. So I would get a full flash of the lightning, and it would light up my whole room, and then you'd hear, dun 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 dun. Dun, dun,
oh
dun, dun, dun.
My god.
And the teddy bear would be up in the closet where I couldn't see it going off.
Right.
That's the one you had to squeeze. And then they wouldn't all go off at the same time always. They would go off one, and then sometimes they go off at the same time.
Okay, so it's not even like, let's say lightning hits, there's a huge spike of electromagnetic energy
and they'd all
triggering all of them.
Yeah, no.
Even, let's just say, for sake, they did have the batteries in them, their switches were on.
Right.
I mean, you're still having to have a trigger of a squeeze or something, you know, that
motion, a button push, something.
Even with incredible lightning storms, like that still would be unusual with batteries being turned on
in the back of a closet covered by other things, like to where they weren't crushed, but they were stored.
That's so strange. I'm trying to search for an explanation. I'm not finding one.
So then the hopper would blink, but you'd hear like a when it blinked because it's a motor inside.
Right.
So that randomly that would go and clink, and then you'd hear, "I'm Hopper, leader of the grasshoppers," and like things like that, and like the "Let's fly, boys," and then like the scary, the crazy noise of like motorcycles.
Oh yeah,
And then you'd also hear Furby would laugh and giggle in the closet.
Those were made by whoever created Furbies. Just was it Dick?
Just the souls from the underworld came back into Furbies. That's what brought them to life.
Yeah.
But they were scary. And I mean, that one laughed and giggled with no batteries from the closet. And it just, that was one of those things that would happen that would just terrify me. And I mean, that would trade off with, I would hear people talking in the hallways to where I'd be laying in bed and I'd hear someone having a conversation. And to me, it sounded like someone having a conversation with their hand over their mouth.
Right. So is this also only during the storms?
No. This is randomly just will happen.
This just happens at night.
Yeah. This is just at night will happen. And it's always right outside my door. It was always a man and a woman. And it was always like, it was more of like a, it was not a heated argument, but it was like, like there was energy to the argument.
Yeah, there's
it was like to the discussion.
Yeah,
but it still sounded like they were going like over their mouths, and that's how I could hear the talking.
Yeah,
and every time I would hear that talking, it would always be muffled. I could never make out a word or a phrase or anything. You could hear like inflection, like the conversation was going. And it wasn't my parents, because there was one time I got brave and I walked up to my door and I put my ear to the bottom of the door.
Because there's that little crack where the carpet meets. Yeah.
Because we had different carpet in the hallway than we did in my bedroom.
Right.
So like where those carpet meet and that transition is, there's a little crack, and I put my ear up to it and it was dead silent. There was nothing.
As soon as you put your ear up to
it?
There
was nothing
there. Did you return when you walked away?
No.
It was just, that was
it. It was done at that point.
Wow.
And another night I heard it again and ended up going to sleep, and I dreamt of the people, and like I seen their faces. I seen what they're, and again, this was a very vivid dream.
Yeah.
And they were very like old timey. It was like 18th century. It was very strange. And it's like, and I mean, they had no connection to the house, because that house was built in 1955. And I've seen pictures, because we had a neighbor that lived there his entire life.
Yeah.
And he showed us pictures of the land from at that time, from when it was built. And it was fields. There was nothing around.
Wow.
There was that one major road, but like there were no other roads yet. They hadn't hashed them out. It was just like my house, a couple other houses, and then just open land.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, that was in 1955. There's no way that someone from like the 1800s or 1700s would have ever stepped foot in my house.
I mean, aside from, not in your house,
right.
On the land,
yes.
Perhaps.
Maybe on the land, but alternatively, maybe through like a portal or something. And that's what I kind of like, wasn't sure if like people were coming into my house or if that was weird with the ceiling thing.
That's so strange, because at first where I thought you were going with this was that it was going to be perhaps the couple who I experienced in your house.
Right, but they were from the
modern
50s.
Times. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So
well, relatively modern. Not modern compared to the 1800s.
Yes. So they would not have even been close to that time period, which was very strange
for me
as a kid, hearing and then dreaming about them.
Wow, that's an incredible story. I have no idea what to think. And a lot of times I think that as sensitives, you draw things in from around the area. So perhaps not only the portals there, but I mean, you yourself could have been pulling in these energies. And I know it was explained to me by someone who I regard to be a mentor of sorts that you put this light out from your, you know, crown chakra that just emits to the universe of like, oh, hey, I'm special. Like, come talk to me. And I don't regard, I think everybody has psychic ability in saying like, oh, I'm special. Like, I was just saying, I don't think there's anything like abnormal about us. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're out of the ordinary. I do believe everybody has a form of psychicness,
whether they realize it or not.
Right. I think it's a sense that either we learn how to use or we forget how to use.
Right.
But it was explained to me that those who do know how to use it or who are more inclined to it put off this beacon, and you can draw things in from miles.
Right.
They explained.
Right.
And I believe that to be true, even with some of the entities I've encountered have been, you know, from several blocks away. They died in an accident there, and I've been able to match it up.
Right.
And it's like you could be pulling somebody, I mean, especially if it was fields, if you think about, oh, three or four properties away.
Right.
I mean, that could be several miles
away
that you could have been pulling towards. I don't know.
Makes sense.
It's crazy. Well, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
And I hope you all enjoyed listening to this episode of Spirit Diaries.